Welcome to Leadership in Uncertain Times. My name is Mark Barber, Director of Content at Critical Eye. And today we'll be looking at the forward agenda for CEOs and senior leaders and where they need to be focusing over the coming months. Many of you listening will be dealing with significant operating model change as you seek to reconnect with customers. We know there's a huge emphasis in many companies on the future of the office and understanding what a blended employee experience means. And there's also the brute reality of cost cutting and trying to improve business performance. In this second episode, we'll explore the points of tension this is creating in leadership teams and how boards need to be supporting executives through this time. I'm joined by Critical Eye CEO, Matthew Blagg. Welcome, Matthew.
Morning, Mark. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, and you. Did you get your break in August, or does that all now seem a long way off?
No, we had a lovely break. The young girls managed to escape, and we were in the seaside and then up in Scotland, and generally had a chance to recharge and have a degree of normality for the interesting road ahead.
Fantastic. I mean, we talked in July, didn't we? And that sort of was looking at what had happened and the sort of the heat of what was going on. And in this episode, we're going to look at, like I say, the forward agenda. I think that there's some interesting points to discuss, because CEOs and execs are back and running at full speed. I was speaking to some of our relationship managers and our members and looking at some of the areas that they're really focusing on at the moment. As I mentioned, there's operating model change, and within that, understanding the customer experience, understanding how the customer journey has changed. There's the subject of reintegrating furloughed employees. We know cost cutting is a big issue. There's the future of the office and what a blended office experience would mean. And I think the big one as well is just overall performance and management effectiveness. Does that reflect some of the conversations that you're having and what you're seeing in terms of the big issues for execs?
Yeah, I mean, you just summarised a massive number of complex things that are coming together now. And I think the key word to summarise the current environment, it's contradictory, because you've got an environment where the economic pressures are now becoming significant, but the medical and human pressures are becoming significant as well, or remain significant. And I think the primary challenge at the moment for society as a whole, and then trip that down into organisations, is how you blend those two things, how you blend the economics of the business, the country that you're in, to the element of safety and security for people. And I think that's creating some real tension, and that tension is going to be really, really clear in the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, there's a mixture of frustration as well, isn't there, that's building up over maybe a lack of clarity from say, a government perspective. But I'm interested in this issue of operating model change, because for me, it is the big topic at the moment. How do you see that playing out in regards to the pressures that it's creating within leadership teams, and also particularly between a relationship between the CEO and the board?
I think that it's easy to talk about operational model changes, but to execute it in any environment, I think, is difficult. But you've then got an environment where the moving parts aren't necessarily able to move. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if you're a global organization and you're talking about restructuring your operating model, that's really pretty difficult. And yeah. So just the practicality of it, I mean, it would always be difficult and hard in any environment. But in an environment where you can't touch the pieces on the board, that you've got to virtually move it forward, I think is really, really difficult. Coupled with this element that each market's in a different place, all countries are contradictory. So there's insecurity and difference of opinion around how things work. I mean, it's a wonderful example that I was talking with a member this week in Switzerland, where they're on the mountains over the summer, and the bubble cars are safe, but then the cable cars full of people. And again, I think you've got these interesting contradictory elements that are playing out that make it very hard for organisations. I mean, organisations like certainty and they like clarity, And I think that makes it very, very difficult. And I think that then rolls into the board discussion, because at the end of the day, the non-executive and the board are responsible for that risk, and it's the exposure they have personally. But it is an uncertain environment, and you can't have a clear strategy on a lot of those things. You've got to have a fluidity and recognise that change is massively needed, but landing it in a way where the customers are empowered and your employees are empowered, really, really, really difficult. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of elements where organisations want reduced costs but increased profit and increased turnover. Well, that equation doesn't work. So something's going to give. You're either going to see a reduction in profits, you're going to see a reduction in turnover, but you're not going to get all three in a, at best, flat market that we will have over the next 1, 2, 3 years, unless you're in obviously the spaces that are net benefiting from this. You know, if you're in technology and you're in certain areas of pharma, obviously they're booming, but ultimately in most areas, this is a leveler. And the strength of your leadership capability, the alignment of the board, is going to be really exposed.
Okay, there's two things that you touched on there that I want to explore. Let's start with the area around, I think it's the strength and depth of the team around the CEO that's going to be really important here, because it's going to, the real danger for CEOs is they get pulled into the firefighting and the day-to-day. Again, are you seeing that? Are you like CEOs really having it brings it to the surface, doesn't it, just how good that team is around the CEO?
Well, I think that you're really exposing teams that are running fast before all this hit, and I think the reality is they're running off the cliff now. And I think that the elements of balance and calmness is so important. This is not a sprint. You've got to have and provide air cover for the organization underneath you. And if the executives are running around, then the pressure that pushes down into the organization is so key. Now, there's points where that's going to happen. You know, we're in budgeting phase in a lot of countries. That, you know, if your calendar year end, you're right in budgeting phase. It's an intense period and you're in that intensity. This, for a lot of leadership teams, is going to be intense. But you've got to make sure that you don't get sucked into that as a mindset. You've got to be balanced. You've got to make sure that your customers and staff see consistency. And I think there's a real danger that you become reactive on short-term behaviours. You've got to think 18 months, 2 years, 3 years down the line, how does this look? Don't look at things for a 3 to 6 month period. I think you'll make very poor decisions. You've got to think about how we emerge and how we come out stronger. So your changes, the environment that you're looking at, the way you lead, has got to be consistent with how you want the business to be in 2 to 3 years' time. CEOs who effectively reduce workload now to concentrate on really core issues are going to outperform and be the ones where shareholders have clarity, customers have clarity, and your employees, who are so key in this environment, have that clear understanding of what the core objectives are.
I mean, that's the board, though, isn't it? The board has to provide or allow the CEO to have that space and time, because it gets gnarly when the board's exerting pressure on the CEO, I think. Maybe that's too simplistic, but yeah, I'm curious to know your thoughts there.
I mean, I think it's essential, but also I think that we've got to recognise the fact that it's a massively heightened pressure point between the board and the executive. And the sort of natural sort of instinct in that environment is to add more work and to challenge more. And I think you've got to, as a board, you've really got to assess whether you're aligned to the team and whether you're being supportive and how you're challenging, and be able to really listen to the workload and what information can flow. And I think that it's difficult for boards, because boards want information flow. You know, at the end of the day, they want to see that what's behind decisions. This is going to require leadership decisions that do not have full information, or they have information that actually contradicts the decision. Because again, behavior changes are about leading, and as such, boards that recognize the fact that consumers and customers are shifting, and you've got to be ahead of that shift, I think you're going to outperform. So if you're being led by what a customer is saying to you today, as opposed to looking at how their trends are emerging, I think you're going to be in a really difficult place. So you're going to get the exposure of the strength of the board, and the alignment with the core leadership team is going to just be exposed over the next 12 to 24 months. And again, the more there is a difference of opinion or a non-alignment, the more that will drive into the market, into the customer, and into the future of that organization.
Yeah, I had an interesting conversation with a chair who said, yes, the executive team has done well so far, but it's almost like they were resting on their laurels a bit. And there's a case of really having to up the ante and being clear about, okay, what's next? Okay, we've ridden this period. How are we going to get performance back to where it needs to be? And again, we talked about that a little bit before, but that is where we're at now, isn't it? It's crunch time.
It is, but I think that my concern in those scenarios, I think that I would be very concerned about non-executives sitting at home and thinking they understand the environment that the executive and the organization's in. And so my big advice on boards is get back out there to see what's really going on and see what's feasible. Because good in a falling or flat market is different to good in a growth market. And I think that's true globally. You know, some points, and this remains true, standing still could be outperforming. And I think there is a real danger you become reactive and not recognise the medium and long-term implications. And I think particularly when you're not operationally involved, how do you really hear about what's going on in the marketplace? How connected are you? You cannot apply your metrics from sitting at home on video calls. You've got to go and see it. You've got to get out. My general view is that boards should be in person now, where they possibly can be, because I think you're going to get a better quality of debate. I also think boards have got to make sure that they have better strategic discussions as opposed to tactical discussions. So the better boards now are having the 2, 3, 4 year strategy days more regularly. And so, yes, you've got the operational information flow, but they're recognizing the need to cut out and come together on strategy. And I think that is generally done in person. To do that virtually, extremely hard. Although obviously with global multinationals where they can't get people physically round a table, but you've got to think about how you create that environment virtually, and you create an open environment where you can properly debate the forward agenda.
Okay. To move it on slightly, and I appreciate some people listening will be divisional or regional CEOs and maybe won't have quite the board exposure that we're referring to here. But I'm hearing a lot of talk about retaining talent and reskilling. At the same time, I'm seeing the reality of a huge focus on cost cutting and redundancies, frankly. Are you seeing a similar mix in the language that's being used versus the reality of the decisions being made? And how do you see that playing out?
Well, I think that comes back to this contradictory environment. Yeah. And I think that's absolutely the case, where organisations are in danger of being very contradictory. And I think the consistency of message is really important. And I think what I think we all recognise is the skills that got you here aren't necessarily the skills that are going to get you there. But how you take people through that journey and how you lead through it and how you're consistent and how your culture evolves is so key to success. Because I was talking to a group HR director of a large multinational the other day around the need for the organization to change. But at the same time, their culture is really good. They've been top quartile performance for the last 20 years. They're entrepreneurial. They've got a spirit and a culture that most organizations dream of, but they need to change. And the real debate there is, how do they get the balance right between taking the team that's got them there and that culture, retaining that culture, which is so key, but instilling change and speed and reaction and digital transformation. And I think that is a really good summary of the challenges organizations face. I think if you mess around with your culture, you don't emerge. You've got to think about how you enhance it. And that's where you should be thinking about your costs. And I think that making sure you're doing the things that enhance the culture of the business and enhance the changes that you need to make, but within that, invest in those things, but also recognize it is tight and you've got to make sure that you prune your costs accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it will define the culture of an organization, won't it? How those decisions are made and how leaders are communicating with their employees, because it's going to be watched very, very closely.
I think it's watched constantly. And I think that in a modern world, you know, things are played back to you. And I would be very careful around on thinking about short term, how you communicate to how it will look in 2-3 years down the line. You know, I think executives and leaders and boards need to remember that these things will be looked back on, as governments are, in terms of how you communicate and what you said. And then have they been consistent with what you're doing now?
No, I agree. I mean, I suppose the thought that occurred to me there, and it's probably unfair on CFOs, but is there a danger within companies at the moment that it's the CFO takes total control over the company, and it is just very much, it obviously has to be about numbers, but it can come at a price as well. Again, sort of thoughts around that. Are you seeing that perhaps in some companies?
Well, I was talking to an HR director in Asia this morning, who is now reporting to CEO, now reporting to the CFO. Okay. And there's no question that they believe that the business is making the wrong decisions because they're basing them on cost cutting without understanding what they want the business to be in the future. And that HR director is going to leave. And I think that should. I think that the inconsistency there, and I think you've got to get this balance right. I think you've got to have strong cost controls. You've got to have a strong finance function in this environment. And so it's key. Information flow on numbers is essential. That's different to driving the future of the business. I mean, businesses have to be about growth. And if this is a difficult, flat environment, it'll only be for a period and then the opportunities emerge. And so you've got to make sure that you're making the decisions that enable you to emerge. What I do think is key. If the balance sheet is in the wrong place, then you've got to deal with it. And that means the finance director and the CFO is front and center in the future of the business. And so there's no question the role has more influence, more visible power than you would normally have. The danger that can lead to an organization that's run on costs, not opportunity.
Yeah, and again, it isn't to simplify it too much. Obviously, the financial health of a business is paramount. But you've seen it before, haven't you, through different tight economic situations where those businesses that have done well have managed the financial aspect of the business, but invested in people, developed people and seized opportunities and managed to balance the two. And I think that's the key message for the moment, isn't it? For the times we're in.
I think it is. I think you've got to remember that people take your people can cope with difficult messages. But what they don't and can't cope with is inconsistency. You know, so the reality of this is making sure that there's the alignment about where you're going and why you're going there. I mean, there was a great discussion I had with another regional CEO in Asia about one of their markets. And really in the discussion, it's quite clear that actually it's subscale, it's in a difficult place. And I think they've got to make a very clear decision on that. Do we enable it and turn it into a market where we have lower expectations, but we use it as a development area for the group? Or do we leave it? But we need to be clear, because at the moment it's inconsistent and unclear, which is really bad for the local people, but also bad for the rest of the region. And it's diverting too much leadership time into what is a very small market, and it's too influential in terms of the allocation of time. So I think it's really important that you're really clear with this in leadership and understand the difficult things need to be made, but they need to be made for the right reason.
But make the decision. Again, it's easier said than done, but don't delay. I mean, you've mentioned Asia a couple of times there. I think, again, we're quite fortunate in having a presence in Asia and working with companies there. And when the crisis broke, it was quite interesting because there was a huge demand from our membership to see and hear from some of the events we held out there, because it's almost a forward indicator, isn't it, for what can be coming in North America and Europe. How are you comparing and contrasting the two markets?
Well, I think that you've got some very unique, specific leadership challenges in the region in Asia, because you've got organizations where they've really only seen high growth. So you've got mediocre teams and organizations growing at 8%. And I think this market is difficult. So I think it is exposing the strength of the leadership. And that's probably a good thing. I mean, I think, you know, one of the realities of this, you know, tightening up is an opportunity. And it's an opportunity not just for organizations, but for society as a whole, to get back to basics, to get back to what makes you perform. I think you'll see that in Asia fast. They are tightening up. The budgeting for next year is absolutely, absolutely going on. And it will be a tight year next year. But within that, it's an opportunity to get back into the things that will move you back into high growth. The reality is that the region will come back. It's just a question of time. Yes. But you've got to be clear in terms of your customers and how they're shifting. I think if you come back into some of the other markets of the world, such as Europe, you're in a flatter marketplace where actually growth has been quite attritional anyway. And so in that sense, leaderships are quite battle hardened. I think they're more prepared for things. I think the real challenge there is how they use this to create growth in the future and opportunity, because there's no question in a tightening market, there's huge opportunities to acquire and take on things, but you've got to be in the right place.
Yeah. Just a thought that occurred to me as you were talking there. Are you seeing an acceleration of change going on? Because it's actually quite a good time to do it in some ways, because you can attribute the drop in performance to the wider environment. So actually it's the case of, well, let's make the decisions that maybe we were not sure about or concerned about because of how the market would react or internally how it could be perceived. You can just push it through, can't you?
In
this environment. That is what's happening.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, effectively, you know, we're moving forward in terms of where we're putting our bets. You know, you're seeing the trends that were there already being accelerated. You only have to look at BP as an example, where they were on that path anyway. But there's no question, you know, the element of, you know, that change in consumption has brought, you know, accelerated it massively. But it was happening anyway. So that process. Now, I think that you've got to be a bit careful on some of those things. I think more will come back than people realise. I think there's a danger to talk about 10 years acceleration. I think you'll see much less than that by the time this evens out in 2 years. Okay. So I think you'll get in it back. It's a bit like that element of moving an offices. I think you'll absolutely need to bring people together. So offices are not going to go away. And I think big cities aren't going to go away. So I think that you'll see some of these things come back.
It's fascinating how divided opinion is around that, because you speak to some execs and it's like, no, there's no real need to go in. And then others are like, we absolutely have to be. It's a real dichotomy, isn't there?
I think there's a dichotomy until you actually get and have that proper discussion. I don't think that, I think there's very few leaders who think you can have a purely virtual business and have a strong culture and a trust and a long-term and an ability to evolve and at scale. I think that you have to bring people together. You can do it in different ways. You've always been able to do it in different ways. I think that you'll see some of those ways come back, you know, where you bring everyone together in a regional environment. You know, I think you will see a pairing back of offices. But there is a reality that office culture isn't just about people sitting at desks. I think you'll see offices repurposed, but the need to come together is as needed now as it ever was. I think the huge reality is that technology enables great things. I mean, if you look at Critical Eye, we're mentoring people globally now and providing access globally that we couldn't have done 12 months ago. It would not have been feasible. The market wouldn't have been ready for it. And now it will stay forever. And I think that's wonderful. There's no question that there's huge positives and benefits. But that doesn't mean to say that we don't need to come together physically. And I think that you've got to get the balance of what change does this bring that it enables, but actually what will come back. And I think that you can't compare an environment where it can't come back and say it's not going to come back. As soon as you remove the shackles, how much will come back? If you look at China, they've returned to the offices. You know, the reality is people are much more back. And ultimately, I think you'll see that much more prevalent on a global basis.
I mean, I think from the conversations, it's that there's an appreciation of the flexibility it's now brought to the workforce. It enables you to have a more diverse workforce. And when you're moving away from that strict 9-to-5, we are talking primarily about office-based workers, and I appreciate the workforce is much bigger. But it has clearly exploded thinking about what's possible, isn't it, with your workforce. But like you say, you can be too dismissive.
I think you've also got to bear in mind that if you don't need them in an office, do you need them? And, you know, you need people at the front line. If you're retailing, you need people in shops. There is a recognition as well that what's also going on is reorganization and really looking at efficiency. And so the element of the be careful about wishing to work from home because there might not be a role there. And again, I think that's true in leadership. You know, leaders need to be visible and that will come back. And if you're not prepared to travel, I think it'll be very hard to lead your business. So again, I think that we should be very careful about short-term things that are making us change to how things will.
Well, I think it's, again, one of the words that I'm hearing a lot of is outcomes. How do you measure outcomes? And it's, I think, there's sort of two things that come to mind. I think productivity is being looked at massively, and then management effectiveness. And you will see changes brought about scrutinised more closely.
You are, and you're seeing effectively the online training tools, which are really policing tools, you know, coming through so that, again, that working hard. But I think you've got to fundamentally sit back. For a percentage of people, working from home is wonderful. For a large percentage, it's not. And that will remain the case. I also think that there's the element of socialization that isn't just for the individual, but for the organization. And that cultural integration, you know, you can't replace. Can you rationalize offices? Yes. Do you need smaller offices? Probably. Will they exist? Absolutely. And regional hubs will continue to thrive because people will go back to moving around. It's just a reality.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to sort of move it on to some of the sort of more personal challenges that leaders are experiencing at the moment. And I think it's worth just mentioning the point around burnout. Again, we touched on it in the last podcast, but I mean, there's a real sense communicating with execs that it's intense out there for them, isn't it? And it's obviously been an incredible summer. Many have managed to get away, but it's right back into the breach. So I'm just sort of curious about your thoughts around burnout and how that's managed.
I think it's a real issue. And I think actually the sort of virtual actually in some ways means that you can be on 24/7. I mean, I was talking to someone regionally who runs a region and reports into a US group, and they do their job and then they do their night job, which is the group role. And that's not sustainable. And I think so you've got the pressure of information flow where video calls can be set up at any point. And I think that's dangerous. But I think that it's more basic than that. You know, by its very nature, humans are insecure, and the environment we're in is an insecure environment. You're there to lead, and in leadership, you're supposed to be confident. Now, that requires you to have a real clarity about the road ahead. And I think in this environment, there isn't clarity. And I think that that's hard for leaders. I think it's hard for individuals. And I think that can be, can come into executives' environment, and the expectation on them is that you know the answer. And that, that is going to be difficult for executive teams at the moment. And I think boards and CEOs have got to recognize the strength of the team where they really are. And I think that's why I think coming together and physically involving each other is really important. But the pressure is huge. Our research that came out in May was really talking about isolation from CEOs. And 12 months ago, it wouldn't have been a word they'd have used. I think that's really interesting how fast that's come in. I think that's going to continue because the speed of communication and the disruptive element of communications, everything you do is unpicked. And you're going to doing things that are not nice to individuals. It's going to be hard. So I think this is a very difficult time for these. By the way, it's also a huge opportunity. At the end of the day, you go into leadership, not because of the easy times, but because of the hard times. It's where you learn your trade. It's where you thrive. And if you're good, it's where you enjoy it. I think it will expose that. I think if you're someone who's properly strong leader, I think you will thrive in this environment and be balanced and calm. I think if you start reacting, the pressure will come to you, and I think you'll be exposed.
Also an important time to be benchmarking ideas and having reference points, because it's so new, and the pace as well that businesses are having to move at is daunting.
I think that, and when we saw it in Critical Eye, when 08 happened, that the executives who were in banks suddenly were exposed. They thought they knew the answer to everything, and they realised they didn't. And I think that what we're seeing now is so true across the leadership environment. You know, no one can articulate that they know the answers at the moment. I think the three areas that Critical Eye work, stakeholder, strategy and leadership, normally a CEO would be pretty strong and competent on leadership, pretty strong and competent on strategy. And the real challenges would probably be the stakeholder component. At the moment, all three are lit in the challenge area. You know, your leadership environment is totally different. You know, how much you communicate? Are you over communicating? You're under communicating? Is it clear? What's the consistency and inconsistency? Are you being reactive? Are you creating air cover? Strategy, you know, there's no question you can become tactical in this environment. You can make too many changes, you can be unclear, and you're exposed very fast. And then the stakeholder bit, well, if it was difficult normally, it's just toxic now. I mean, and you're going to be...
everywhere. If you go that far, you'd say it's toxic.
Well, it has to be. And that's not, that's just the territory of the job. When it's really, really difficult, the stakeholder stuff is toxic. I mean, everyone, you know, you're paid a lot of money for a reason. At the end of the day, it's, you know, that's why you sit in the chair. It's a lonely chair. I always remember, and through Critical Eye, I've been able to see things and hear things that few people get access to. And I was very fortunate to have breakfast a few years ago with a retiring FTSE 20 CEO and a FTSE 20 chairman. And the CEO has been very open and talking about how tired they are. And the chairman said, "Do you think you're actually tired because, you know, the physical demands of the role or because of the pressure?" And it was a really interesting discussion because the chairman's comment was, "I don't think you realise how much baggage you carry around as a CEO. You don't as a chair. You know, you go to sleep at night. There is a CEO who's got that, and there's an executive team who carry the baggage. There is a reality. The baggage has got bigger. It's always quite large, but it's now very large. And I think for CEOs and executive teams, it's tough to get these things right. And they're human beings, and they're going through their own changes, and they've got their family issues. They've got children, and they're exposed. And so I think that the combination is huge and acute, because not only have you got the pressure in your position, but you've also got the pressure in terms of your private life. I think you'll see more executives finish their executive career over the next 18 months than you would normally see. I think that will be done for two reasons, some because they're tapped on the shoulder and some because they decide that they don't want to do it anymore. Conversely, you'll see youth come through. You'll see young leaders emerge who thrive, who are ambitious, who grab the ball by the ears. And that's great. That's the future. And that's what we should be expecting to happen. That's what we want to happen. And we should be encouraging it to happen.
Okay. I mean, at the start, I talked about the forward agenda. I mean, if you were to sort of reflect on as a senior exec and or CEO, how do you find out the space and time to be thinking about next year, the year after that, and where the business needs to be? What's your advice?
I think there's a typical issue here, and it's one word, and it's always the same word, but it's empowerment, and then coupled with that is then trust. You know, at the end of the day, leaders are about empowering their people and trusting them. I think if you haven't got the right people, you know what you got to do, but you've then got to empower them, which means leave them alone. And it means you don't ask for multiple reports. It was a great comment that universities come out of Critical Eye about when they looked at the leaders they've respected, and their comment was, they got things out of my way. Mm. And this is an environment where boards, CEOs, divisional CEOs, executives have got to try and get stuff out of people's way. And I think that's true in all the functional areas as well. You know, why are we doing this? Be really clear. There's no point in producing things for the sake of it. If you haven't got time to commute it, why produce the data? And I think there's a real need to make sure that you're really thinking about what you're doing and why you're doing it. You need the right assistance around you, and you need the right reference points. And I think that it's one of the things that you see from our pop-up boards and the mentoring that we're doing. You know, the element of doing less but achieving more comes out of all the sessions that we're having with our members. And it's really, really important that you don't get sucked into the doing more, because that's just going to drive into the organisation.
Yeah, and maybe try to have some fun too.
It's always about fun, Mark, as you know. At the end of the day, as you know, I've always believed
that.
It's fun. It is fun. Well, I think that, you know, as you know, I've got young children and they keep me very grounded. And that means that, you know, actually that inner child is hugely important. We should never forget that we're dealing with people's lives. And the implication of it is significant. But ultimately, you've got to do that with humanity, and you've got to do it with a sense of belief. And that belief comes with enjoyment and that you're doing the right thing for everyone. And that I think, is the really important. You've got to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and know that you make difficult decisions, but for the greater good of everyone. And if you're doing that, everyone will be happy, or as happy as they can be with that decision. You'll be proud of yourself, but also you will have that sense of achievement that fun comes with.
Okay. I'll wrap it up there, Matthew. Thank you for talking with us today.
It's a pleasure. I think the last message, Mark, just to leave with everyone, is just remember, be calm. Don't run into things. And remember, leadership needs to be calm. However much everyone else runs around, remain calm.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew.
A pleasure.